Oh boy.
Whose telephone sounds are on like a sociopath? My telephone made an announcement ring telling me I had an email, and that's an insane. Everyone's phone is on silent.
Mine isn't.
Yours isn't on silent? How do you live?
I just don't get calls.
But you get texts.
Yeah, I just let them buzz.
Oh.
Wow. Well, welcome to another professional ass episode of Yosis Racist.
This is a podcast where our phones are different.
That's not true. Playing the role of Tired Andrew today will be Tawny Newsome.
It's me. I can't wake up, you guys. We're trading spots. That means you, Andrew, you have to be.
I had two coffees, actually. I'm genuinely pretty perky somehow.
You're in a collared shirt. You got to be jacked up.
I got to be somewhere after this.
Oh, so you didn't wake up for this.
No.
You woke up for the shit you have after this.
A little of both.
See?
Little of both.
I try to wake up for... I even tried to wake up for this. I did all my normal things. I have my normal amounts of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Something is weighing on me.
Mm-hmm. Is it this very fucked up world?
I mean, sure, but that's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. Well, I found some escapism from the fucked up world this week on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm really impressed by the amount of bird nerds there are out there.
Oh, wow.
Because I mean, right when all the, I think it was right after we got news about the Alabama ban and the whole timeline is just really, really depressing.
Yeah.
I went on a hike and I saw a crazy bird because I was in a place where all the birds were like brownish.
Was this genuinely just before last? Oh my God.
This was like a few Thursday. Days ago. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. It feels wild. I saw a bird that was like black and yellow and white, and it just stood out so crazily because I was in like the desert and everything, you know, where everything's kind of tan, even the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this bird's trying to get seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I took to Twitter with just my dumbass description of like what it was. And people were so nice. This one woman was like, is it the size of a robin or the size of a sparrow? I was like, I don't know the difference.
That is so intense.
I know a duck. I know a chicken. Mm-hmm. And then I know all the little flying birds that go into trees.
Mm-hmm. I know like 5% of the flying birds that go into trees.
Well, I just mean like I'm grouping them all as like the flying birds that go into trees. Like they're not quail. They're not on the ground. They're not crows.
Yeah.
Then there's just everything from like a blue jay to a finch. I don't even know. So anyway, but they helped me figure it out. It was a Scots Oriole. And then someone said that it was a big deal that I saw it in outer LA County because they don't typically live over there.
I always like when shit like that happens because it's like a big deal because it's cool, but also it kind of probably means someone's habitat for sure got fucked up like yesterday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Mojave Desert is like should have been a sanctuary forever, but instead we decided to like develop bombs there and test aircraft.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was depressed about the news, so I went to nature where we're seeing evidence of terrible climate change.
Yeah, but you got to see some cool birds. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have, but that was not nice. I didn't need to bring you down on that.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't bring me down. I started down. I showed up here with my eyes closed.
She started down and she's getting downer.
Started from the bottom and I stayed.
Started from the bottom and then got this shovel.
Uh-huh.
Can go lower than the bottom.
Got to go lower. What's in your life?
Jesus. A bunch of shit I can't talk about.
Ooh,
because it might not happen.
Cool.
And because of that, let's just say I have not stopped watching TV pretty much since
I've seen
you last.
This
My
is
eyes
a cool life.
Are worse.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not tired right this second, but I'm fatigued from the slog.
Sure.
So
when you're watching TV for business purposes, it's a weird feeling.
I was doing the thing where I was mostly watching on my laptop and I would just walk around my house doing other house shit with the TV on the whole time.
Uh-huh.
That just started to feel real crazy.
Yeah.
I made breakfast this morning with the TV on the, like, one of the non-burning burners on the stove.
Oh, my God. Andrew, don't do that.
It was, by any measure, horrendously
You know the
bad.
Whole range gets enough ambient heat that's bad for your computer.
Yeah, I know. I guess I could have put it a little... It was... I mean, yeah, it was dumb. I stay dumb Andrew, stay doing stupid shit.
Well, we are all doing stupid shit, including, yeah, as we all know, the states of Georgia and Alabama.
I mean, I feel like last week we talked about Georgia. Mm-hmm. And basically, we record the show pretty soon before it goes out, or uh-huh, this part of the show pretty soon before it goes out. And yet somehow, yeah, at least the last 2 weeks, we've been like, it feels like, I'm just going to say it. Mm-hmm. Feels like the these sexist ass Republican men and women, mm-hmm, are just doing the shit to fuck with our release schedule.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, Tuesday evening, mm-hmm, is when we gotta fuck up the world so that we don't have any time,
yeah,
no, to email sweet July Diaz and ask him to
not even a funny
hold
joke.
The release.
I mean, I don't know what else to say other than yeah. So I mean, we are in a time where they're systematically coming after women's right to bodily autonomy. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's important to support the people who are already doing this work. We used to read ads for the National Network of Abortion Funds. So yeah, this is not even an ad. This, yeah, is just like,
not an ad.
Keep supporting them. You can also donate through Yellowhammer Fund. I know, yeah, a lot of people have been tweeting about that. But I think it's important. I did see some, like, you know, I think it's important while grassroots kind of brand new efforts and energy, the sentiment is appreciated. I think it's important to honor the professionals that have already been doing this very sensitive work.
Yeah.
Because when you jump into activism like this, you know, there were just people talking about starting their own, yeah, organizations for helping, yeah, transport people to get out of state and stuff. Yeah. But this work is very sensitive because you risk spreading misinformation or, you know, yeah, just trust the people who've been doing it for a long time. And those organizations, a lot of them talk to each other. So if you support one, it can lead to helping you know how to support others.
I think this is one of the common themes of our show, which is like, look, we're in times where there's a lot of new enthusiasm, but it's okay to be new at something. Mm-hmm. I think, look, for a lot of our listeners, if, you know, of any color, but especially white folks who might not have considered perspectives before or learning things, it's okay to just be, I'm new at this. I just learned this, and like not have to be like in charge.
Yeah.
Like if you have the energy to start an organization, you probably have much better used energy to contribute to an existing organization. And if you truly think you have a different idea, you should really have a damn good reason for doing something different on your own.
Yes. If you think you're fulfilling a need that maybe something in your, yeah, area doesn't exist, yeah, there are still...
I'm not saying you can't do a new, yeah, thing, but you really have to know what the fuck you're talking about before you can be sure that your new thing is necessary.
And there are people, even if they're not in your exact area, just look to your betters on the topic,
yeah,
and see if there's actually that need in the specific way that you've thought it up, yeah, because...
And that's super okay. Yeah. I think that's the thing that I think people like are like, oh, I need to do this thing. And, or, you know, I'm great at whatever, starting organizations or getting people enthused. And it's fine, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Just do contribute. Just have a really good reason for breaking off from the norm besides your own ego. And I think a lot of people need to make sure that, wow, why am I lecturing people who are enthusiastic? I'm in a weird place. We do have a little bit of good news.
Say what?
And it's also finally dovetails with Asian American Pacific Islander History Month. Same-sex marriage was legalized in Taiwan.
Yay!
Which is, yeah, actually, as of this, when this episode comes out, it'll be in a couple days.
Nice, Andrew. Doesn't that make you
so
feel
good?
So
guess what? Yeah, famously regressive and conservative Taiwan is better than lots of countries.
Yeah, that is that a wild swing, or are they?
And it's about to be better than the United States, given the way things are going.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder about places like that that legalize the things that it seems sometimes that places that are regressive, when they manage to legalize same-sex marriage.
Sorry, Taiwan's not necessarily totally progressive.
Yeah, I shouldn't just parrot that back to the whole place.
I'm just saying on LGBTQ stuff in particular, Asia can be kind of rough. Not all of Asia. What am I talking about? Just ignore me. I'm an asshole.
We're tired. It's almost like places places can surprise you, though, with their legalization like this. And it's almost like they realize that this shit doesn't bother anybody.
Yeah.
It's literally none of their business. So why not just let people live and be happy?
Yeah. The weight of history is about to be very much against America. But, you know, it's good. This is fantastic, fantastic, incredible news. And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Do we have anything else?
Zig was on vacation. So part of why our news is thin, I'm just going to come clean.
Oh.
Because when Zig is in town, Zig's always working anyway. Mm-hmm. But when he's in town, even if we're lackluster on the, like, what are we going to talk about this week? He'll pop some things into the text thread and be like, here's a few things.
This is good.
When we scramble, then we're like, oh, thank God Zig came up with some things that we can read up on. But Zig, we really left him alone. And so he was in Palm Springs, and we didn't do our jobs as much.
No.
Did you have a good time?
I had a fantastic time chilling by the pool and trying to ignore racism for 2.5 days.
Hell yeah.
Nice. You said there weren't a lot of black and brown folk where you were.
No, it was me and my boy Wes, and we were literally the only black and brown people, not only on the block, but like the entire neighborhood, because it was all rental houses, and no one was there besides me and him and like the pool cleaner.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
And the pool cleaner. Well, I hope y'all became friends and you're writing a screenplay about your antics.
We did. We were cooking some tacos, and we offered my man some tacos because they were from the same state in Mexico, and like we bonded.
Hell yeah.
That's cool.
Hell yeah. Oh, wait, I did have one more other piece of good news, actually, besides before we cold filibuster with vacation news. people are throwing milkshakes on fascist Nigel Farage in England. I know it's technically assault, but...
I don't know. If it's mostly liquid and dairy product, is that assault or is it just nuisance?
Yeah, I'm for it. I'm sorry. Don't do it. Wink. But... you know, it's hilarious.
Andrew, I heard you wink.
Oh my God. I got loud eye syndrome. Wink. You know who didn't actually bring us down? Our guest, Alan Maldonado.
Yeah, let's just kick it to the guest. We suck.
He was really a fucking joy. You've seen Alan on The Last OG, Blackish.
He's a stand-up. He's a writer. He's
funny.
Great.
Wow, we're going to go into this now.
Just get out of here.
Introduction.
Bullet point one, Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life.
Bullet point two, Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you.
Errantly high floating period. It doesn't quite look like a bullet point. All Lisa products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed and to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you want to spend time in.
Bullet points have been read verbatim.
As was instructed. Now we get loose.
You know what is a relaxing thing to do after nailing all the bullet points
go
in
the
an
fuck
ad
to
read?
Bed.
Ooh, we just need to take a little nap.
I'm going to go to sleep on my standard Lisa mattress. You know why? It's the most popular multi-layer foam mattress, and I love things that are popular. That's why I followed around a bunch of crunchy-haired white girls in junior high.
Oh, boy. Well, if you're a little bit standard, I'm a little bit hybrid and roll.
What?
Wow. The Lisa Sapira mattress, Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress, is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. Look, honestly, it's a little bit heavier, but once you put it down...
It's a lot of bit heavier. Don't carry this one around, is what we're saying.
Yeah. The standard, that's your backpacking mattress.
You can take
that with you anywhere you want.
Carry on only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lisa also believes that all people, even us dumbasses, should have access to deep rest and relaxation.
And that is why Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they've donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits.
In-home delivery and setup is available so that you don't have to pick up that heavy-ass
Superior mattress. It doesn't matter. If you want, you're allowed to, but we understand.
Also financing. So if you are like us and you want to sleep all the time because the news is bad and hard.
Wow.
Get yourself a Lisa mattress in one of these two flavors.
Do that. Okay, back to required copy. Don't miss out.
Second bullet point, live healthier, live happier by resting deeper.
Third bullet point, order today and get 15% off your purchase for a limited time at leesa.com/yo and also use promo code yo.
That's leesa.com/yo.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Promo code yo. And keep in mind, you also get a 100-night risk-free trial plus shipping and returns. Where are you from, Alan?
Oh, Rialto, California.
Rialto. Yeah. I grew up in Vacaville.
Vacaville? Mm-hmm. Where is that at?
Wait, Rialto is on Highway 12, right?
Nah, no, that's on the 10. It's near San Bernardino. It's right next to San Bernardino.
I'm completely in the wrong part of the state.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Rio Linda, which is up north where I'm
from.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, okay. I was like, Vacaville, I don't know where that is.
Well, clearly, this state's
usually,
so big.
Usually when I say Rialto, people don't know what that is either. I'm like, okay. So when you said, I was like, oh.
Wait on that. Damn.
Something familiar. Nope.
We were almost friends.
God damn it. Well,
so near San Bernardino, so you're a native Southern Californian.
Yeah.
Did you ever live anywhere else?
Yeah. I grew up in Compton first. I was born in Bellflower. I grew up in Compton until I was 7. Then I moved to Rialto to get away from the gang violence. But everybody had the same idea, so the gangs kind of followed us.
Isn't that interesting?
So Rialto was, it was pretty edgy.
That's nice. It's nice to know that, you know, wherever you go, the gang is with you.
Yeah, that's what it is.
With you in your heart, but also in your neighborhood.
There it is. Yeah. Five doors down, actually.
Okay, very close.
Five doors down.
You knew their name.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're talking to Alan Maldonado, actor, writer. You've seen him on The Last OG.
And you've heard his words on The Last OG.
Yeah.
He also writes on it.
Yeah.
See, he didn't want to tell us that because he was trying to be chill and like
he was
regular
to be chill
about it. He was like, no, I'm just
super
on the show.
Chill.
Who cares?
That's who I am. Super chill.
But then
man,
he had a whispering friend voice in the corner that was like, actor, writer on the show.
That's right.
Like, okay.
That's right.
This is why you travel with people, you know?
That's right. Let them be fancy. I be chill.
Yeah. You're drinking a regular ass water. The rest of us are
regular ass water.
Drinking
a
flower water.
Sparklet with flowers and shit. Y'all doing all right. Y'all fancy.
I don't even know what this fucking water tastes like. I guess we're about to find out live on air.
Let's find out. This is like, you know that show, The Doughboys? This is less interesting than that.
Oh, it's got pH balance, though. It's pH.
Mm-hmm. I feel very balanced.
From Iceland.
It's the same.
Wow. This
right?
is fancy as well.
Ridiculous.
From
who needs
Iceland?
Water from Iceland?
Right.
They got the best water.
Do they really?
They do. It tastes amazing.
It's Iceland.
Because it comes straight from the glacier.
Right. And shit.
It's, yeah, there's
the land
unicorns.
Is made of ice. It should have the best water.
So you're
I don't
on.
Like that. We're standing on that. That's the land.
That's right.
You're on Last OG. Very funny show. Nah, it's got my friend Ryan Gall. It's got Cedric. Mm-hmm. It's got Tiffany Haddish. It's got you.
And the big dog, Tracy.
Everybody. Oh, of course.
Big dog, Tracy Morgan.
Okay, can't forget
can't
Tracy.
Can't forget the OG.
Right? What season is it in?
2.
Nice.
Season 2. We debut season 2 April 3rd. So
okay,
we're coming up on the 4th episode, which is tonight, written by me.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
As of time of recording, so then it'll definitely be out by the time people hear this. So.
All right. Well, there goes that timestamp.
Sorry about that. We could have warned
there
you.
There goes that.
We could have warned you ahead of time,
voila,
but we did not. But just go on. I'm going to go.
DVR it. You can find it.
Yeah, DVR it. Buy it on iTunes.
Episode 4?
Probably. Yeah. Just watch episode 4.
Episode 4, yeah.
Nice.
There it is.
So when you're writing and you're also in it, are you just like giving yourself the best jokes?
Of course.
I was trying to think of the most obnoxious question to ask.
Of course. That's just playing it right. That is playing it right. If I'm going to be in a room.
You're a fool if you don't do that.
Definitely toss me some slam dunks.
Yourself,
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going
to
throw some lobs right off the backboard.
To
myself. There it is.
Amazing.
It's great in the writer's room, man. I actually love the writer's room. I look at it as 12 angry men.
Mm.
Like it's one big jury duty.
Yeah.
And your idea is the defendant.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you have to present a case.
I'm just seeing how far you could go with this.
Yeah. Like, here we go. You got to present a case with the least amount of holes so your client can, or your idea can work.
Because
everybody in the room is trying to find holes or whatever you're saying. I'm bumping on this. So your whole, whenever you pitch, that's kind of your position.
I think we can all agree Fuck writers. We all hate
them. Fuck them.
Yeah, just fuck them. Sorry, fuck other writers.
No, fuck them all.
Fuck all of us. We stand with the WGA, however.
That's right. That's right.
But fuck all writers.
Oh, this is an agents podcast. Strictly agents. Oh, boy.
See how the tables have turned.
Well, should we listen to some voicemails about racism?
You ready for this shit?
Oh, this should be interesting.
Apologies in advance. This one's a little long, but it's a good one.
Here okay, we go. Let's hear it.
Hey. Okay. Under 60 seconds. Got it. My wife and I were in church, and she is Cuban. I am Puerto Rican and Afro-Cuban. And one of these couples that, you know, we are pretty okay familiar with, we had just had our son. And we didn't cut his hair for maybe, I don't know. It was definitely over a year. Maybe close to like 14, 15 months, 16 months. Ooh, can you tell my parent? Still talking in months. He's like a year and a half. And after church services had ended, we're talking, being friendly, you know, conversing. And she asks if she could touch his hair. They're white. I immediately froze up, but then I said, sure. And it's been killing me for the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months. Should I have shut her down in church? Like, you know? Was that the time and place to, you know, don't touch my hair. You know what I mean? Like, and then I figure it's my son. You know what I mean? Like, was I too passive? Like, I don't know, man. It was a weird space. Was I racist, but like, was I not racist? Like, how do I know? What should I have done? How do you help, please?
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my God.
He failed as a father.
Oh, failed. My man.
Failed.
Homeboy actually even knew he was going long, but still, you got to pick up the pace.
Yo, that was the first thing I was going to comment on, just how intimate he was on his voice.
Very intimate.
Well, I know people feel like this is a thing, but he even knew, try to keep it under a minute. I feel like he had
candles lit in the background.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was clearly standing on his own roof. Like, wind in the background. He was like, this is the only quiet space I got.
He was like a load time.
Yeah, he was like doing a Batman where you're like standing on the roof looking down at the city being like,
oh, pondering his choices.
What did just I contemplating on like
that light wind in the background.
And he said it was like 6 months ago. Like, this has been destroying his soul for the past 6 months.
He's been working up the courage to leave a lengthy, intimate voicemail.
He hasn't been to church since. he hasn't been to church since.
I would throw out a possible counterpoint, which is that every time he goes to church now, he's like, this is the day I'm going to say something. This is when I'm going to do it.
He puts a hat on his son.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be put in that position again.
Yeah. I think he's just been like, I can make this up. And he's like, oh, okay, no.
Yeah.
Not the time or place.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say the obvious thing. Yeah, you absolutely shut them down. I don't care if it's church. I don't care if it's their wedding in a church.
Right.
If they have to touch your kid's head.
That's
no.
That's a negative. That's a negative.
They got to know. Like, yeah, your son, you don't want him to be scarred. But also these people have to learn. And what better place than in the Lord's warm embrace for them to learn some shit they should have known already.
I agree.
Oh, man.
I agree.
Fucking just because it's church.
All right. Let's give. I don't know why. So often, Alan, we obviously most of the time don't actually help the people that call in. However, there is a part of me that's like, this guy is so actually upset.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Do we have real advice for this dude? Do we have real advice that can help him today, not just going forward? Because clearly this has been weighing on the man's mind.
Oh, man, he just need to be better.
Yeah.
He needs to be better. Like,
do you think, right, like a couple wins will make this loss feel less like
it? The loss has to be a win, meaning that you can't let that happen again.
Right, right, like, right.
You slipped up.
Learn from it.
Yeah, you got to learn from that.
How old is the child? I forgot because the voicemail was so long.
Now he's 20 months, but he was 14 months at the time.
Wait, I thought that was just how long it had been since the haircut.
Oh, I don't know then.
It was
I think I missed that part. So it was a baby.
I think it was a baby, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. It had been 16 months since any sort of haircut.
I see why he's hurt.
So maybe the kid is two now.
Yeah, I see why he's hurt.
But, you know, for what it's worth, the kid 100% doesn't remember any of this.
True.
Yeah.
I think you can just get a mulligan on this whole parenting debacle because your kid isn't going to know.
Kid's not going to remember.
And white people also aren't going to remember. But
it hurts, man. It hurts. Yeah, of course. It hurts when you get caught slipping. That's what it was. He got caught slipping. He's like, wow. the best advice is, you know, you just can't let it happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was your training ground for when your kid's actually like six and is going to remember some shit. Now you're going to be quick.
Yeah.
You're going to be leaping across the room to swat some people's hands out the way. In the middle of the...
flying across the church.
In the middle of the Eucharist. I don't know what goes on in a church.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. That's not the important part.
The homily? Is this just Catholic shit?
Just keep shooting. One more.
The eulogy. That's just a funeral.
That's a funeral.
I don't care if it's a funeral. If somebody tries to touch your kid's head at a funeral, you better be like, I'm so sorry for your loss. However, do not touch my child's hair.
Right.
I thought you were going to say then there's going to be two funerals. Okay. All right. Do we help this dude?
I feel like we helped.
That's as much as we.
You know what?
I will say this. How about this? Your energy spent clearly beating yourself up about it is better spent looking to the future, not the past. How about that?
Ooh.
Right? Maybe.
Okay, all right.
My man is just clearly wallowing at this point. If he's leaving 2-minute voicemails to fucking strangers who are just going to make fun of him on the internet, then you need another outlet.
He's hurt, man. Dude is hurt.
Yeah. But yeah, so turn that hurt into something for the future. All right, let's do another voicemail.
Turn that frown upside down,
but then back into a mean frown and direct it at these white people.
Oh, yes. Man.
Hi, friends. I'm a new listener to the show, so I'm sorry if you answered this question before. I was just calling because a friend of mine recently has been getting me to listen to K-pop music, and I've really been enjoying it. And in turn, I've been sharing it with my partner, who's really been enjoying it. And I was kind of curious what your thoughts on listening to other cultures and other countries' music and languages that you don't necessarily understand, how that kind of fits into the realm of race, specifically where the line is sort of drawn between appreciation and appropriation or appreciation and fetishization. I guess what I'm trying to know is how do I enjoy K-pop music and share that I enjoy it without being that white guy? Thanks.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack right there.
That's why we have this show to briefly make fun of him and then deflect the real issues.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's how it works.
I mean, personally, I really like K-pop music.
Really?
I like the structure of pop music as a musician. I like that in K-pop, it's even more kind of structured. And
yes, it is.
Feels a little formulaic in a way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very
late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
My nieces love K-pop since they was kids.
Right?
And
as a casual fan, I couldn't even stand here
and say,
like,
music videos
are the music videos are stunning.
Music videos are the shit.
It's stunning. The fashion is cool.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, I like this pop music. It also feels like upbeat and very intense at the same time, which I like. I don't know. So I get why this guy is like, I really like this. And like, if he starts going down a real rabbit hole of like really liking only this, I get why he might start to be worried. He doesn't want to be the guy at the cocktail party, like, you know,
just wearing an anime shirt and being like a little too comfortable with this.
But this is the thing. This is the thing. Cause like I said, K-pop is built on like 90s, late 90s, 2000s. So,
like American pop.
Right. Yeah. It's built off of American pop. So I don't get where the appropriation would come in to play.
There's this weird thing.
I don't get that part of it.
Yeah. There's this weird thing, I think, where like, I feel like with shit like K-pop and just in general with like Asian people, right in this moment, there's such a hard turn from the least cool people in American culture to like the most cool people in a type of international culture. Mm-hmm. And there's like a humongous disconnect, right? Because you can still go to parts of America where it's like, you know, Asian people are dorks, blah, 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 like long duck dong shit. And then you can go to the coast and be like, oh no, Asian people are from the future.
Right, right.
Like they're the craziest shit. And then, and it's like, it's all in this one country and we don't like as Americans know how to deal. And including Asian Americans. Cause I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, this isn't, yeah, this wasn't around when I grew up.
Do you feel more like a dork or more like from the future?
Well, that's the worst part is like now when, contemplating all of Asianness, mm-hmm. I'm like, because I used to be the coolest type of Asian person.
Okay, okay.
And now that there's way cooler Asian people making their way into,
they've outcooled you.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh fuck, because I was like, oh, I'm funny and I'm, you know, whatever. Like yeah. I can do these things, and that makes me better than other Asian people. But now I'm like, oh no, I'm like significantly worse than the best. It's a fucking bummer. I'm just like, oh,
I'm
no.
blowing it.
Yeah, I'm really blowing it. I'm blowing it because I don't have like laser lights in my fucking hands and whatever the fuck else happens on a, and that like amazing like fucking Korean plastic surgery where everyone just looks like a fucking model. I'm just like,
a glossy,
how?
Beautiful model.
It's not going to be me. I'm not ready for it. I came up with the low expectations of Asians bullying me in culture. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh no, I'm being crushed from the other side. Sucks. So that's my only K-pop take. I got nothing to add to that.
Yeah.
I mean, but okay, here's what I will say though. And this would be a thing, which is like, I mean, because I would say the most obvious example of this, actually, of this model of like how it's mostly fine but can go too far is like the white guys that are like kind of backpack rappy, like way, like know too much about the history of hip hop. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, feels like you're overcompensating for something. You know what I mean? Like that, like kind of New York hip hop fan a little bit. That mostly is fine. 98% of the time it's fine. And then the 2% of the time when it's too annoying, you're like, okay, that's the person you don't want to be. And I see a little bit of that with K-pop too.
Yeah.
Like white K-pop fans are mostly fine.
Right.
But the ones that are bad are very bad.
I get that. I guess where I would say is if you wasn't educated about K-pop and you just tried to put on that face like you were.
Yeah.
I think that might be even worse. If you're putting in the time to learn someone's culture, you'll be, you know, in the best position to handle whatever anyone could say about your love for whatever you love for. If you're educated about it, it's those that are, you know, they just fronting.
They
know two songs.
If it's the fad, if it's the people hopping on the bandwagon.
Right. I think that's where he's at because he's not, he doesn't sound like he's.
Yeah.
It's like he's just getting introduced to this. So.
Yeah.
I think that's the question. I think he just needs to do his homework.
Be cognizant about that guy line because you might be that guy at any given moment.
Yeah. I also think if you just throw in some recommends, you know, if you like it so much, you're recommending it to other people, just talk about some other types of music you like. I'm sure you like a lot of types of music.
Right.
Just so that you don't get labeled as like some kind, you know, like you mentioned fetishization. Fetish.
You got it.
Fetishization.
You're good.
We know what we're saying. Just so that you don't get lumped into that category by anyone who maybe doesn't know you and is just overhearing you just really going in on all your favorite K-pop bands.
I was going to make a joke about how, the real trick is to find an even more obscure type of Asian music and be like that.
Yes.
And then my joke was going to be get really into Filipino pop. And then I was like, that's just Bruno Mars. So I have.
Or like that one album Lea Salonga did in the 90s.
I have nothing is my point. Hey, listeners, we and producer Zig have a new show from Earwolf to recommend for you. It's called The Wokest.
Yeah, it's Zig's other show. I mean, he has 10,000 shows, but this is a show that he's recently been working on. Mm-hmm. It's a satirical podcast hosted by Edgar Montplaisir, our arch rival, deepest enemy, a.k.a. the wokest man in the world, in which he invites guests on to talk about a specific cause, charity, or social topic they wish to give visibility to.
Think like the Colbert Report, but with performative wokeness. Also, a little bit more black. I think we can agree.
Yeah.
Slightly more black.
There's fun segments and interviews. Edgar aims to give visibility to guest organizations and struggles, while at the same time lampooning the co-opting and commercialization by those who use the term wokeness. It's very funny.
You can listen to The Wokest now and completely ad-free only on Stitcher Premium.
For a free month of premium, you know what to do. Go to stitcherpremium.com and use promo code YO.
And just as a little, maybe just stay listening to it, because maybe someone from this podcast might be a guest at some point. Who knows?
It was not me.
Shit. All right, let's do the final voicemail. Okay. Here we go.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. My name is Femi, and I'm calling from Atlanta. So I had a little situation at the gym 2 days ago. They were playing like a lot of rap music and the explicit version. And this white lady said something really weird about the music, about how like it was disgusting and how much she just hated that music. And then she turns to me, I'm black, by the way, and says, "Oh, I'm sorry." And so I was looking at her and wondering why, because there were other black people in the gym, but she decided that I was the person to apologize to, which is ironic because the song that she hated, I hated the song too. Anyway, I know it's racist. Just tell me what you think. Love the show.
Oh, you were the proximal black person.
Right.
You were the most proximal black person to her.
She felt your disgust.
I love that this woman, this happens sometimes. I go to a popular spin class sometimes in Los Angeles that is largely frequented by white ladies. And there are not that many instructors of color, but this happened to one of them who's a friend of mine, where she played a song that had the word nigga in it, because it is rap music and you're on a fucking spin bike.
Right.
And you're not going to play. I hate when they play an edited version of a song, because you're just like, where did the words go? I'm trying to go 100 miles an hour and I'm listening to like a bleaked Christian version of this song. Anyway, and this white woman stormed up to the desk after class and was just like angry that the word was played in class. But I'm like, the instructor's black. You're just mad that you're all so white in the room that you feel uncomfortable listening to it. So I feel like this happens sometimes, where like white ladies in gyms think that because they can't say the word, they shouldn't have to sweat to it.
They don't have the sweat equity.
Which is, of course, how black people built this country. Yeah.
There it is. You see that.
A boom.
Segway.
So anyway, yeah, fuck that woman. And I'm sorry she singled you out while you were just trying to get fit.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's...
I think it's like the habit of like... I feel like it happens all the time. Look, that's one of the reasons why this podcast started, is because I feel like there's a lot of times like white people will look around for like the nearest person of color and be like, you're the person of color around here. You have to handle all of this.
You feel the safest.
Yeah.
You feel the safest. What? Okay, so let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. So do you think it's better that she apologized? Or that she did, if she was listening, that she didn't. That's a good question. Like, well, for me, I would have rather her not apologize.
I think same.
I would rather her not apologize. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel.
And also, because the irony is that the caller felt the same way. The caller was like, yeah,
right. I didn't like the song either. Right.
Yeah,
right.
But you're looking at me and assuming I like it.
Right, responsible for it being played here. Right, Kodak Black ain't my jammy.
Right. Like this yin-yang twin song. Right. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't really feel that. I'm a jazz person, actually.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't like the apology. Like,
yeah, I don't. Yeah, that would be my question. I'm like, I would have rather her just stand. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, the world is what it is. Everybody don't like everything. Everybody don't.
But also, I feel like it's this double blind thing, or not double blind, but this like going back on it too, because you're like, oh no, I can't say this. Like, realizing that maybe like some of your thoughts about this could at least be perceived in a racist way, but then like trying to make it up by apologizing to the woman next to you.
Yeah, I guess then the apology is like my biggest problem, because she could have a valid position on why she doesn't like the N-word.
Yeah.
She can have a valid position on that. Like, I have no problem with, you know, white people having a problem with the N-word. Yeah, you should have a problem with it. You should have a problem. I don't want you to be comfortable with saying the word.
Or, right.
Yeah. If you're uncomfortable with me saying, that's fine, too.
I guess my point, though, is, like, that song isn't played for her in the gym. That song is not being played for you, then. Like, in my spin class, my black instructor's playing that song because she likes it. And she's kind of, like, playing it for me, probably. But, like, so, like, you don't really get to be mad about it. If it's not for you,
it's
not really, out loud anyway. Like, be mad privately, but like,
it's a public place. Like, I don't get. And when you go to these spin classes, that's what you expect to hear. Like, you're going to hear music. You're going to hear music that's going to have a certain energy. It's going to, you know, they may have lyrics. It doesn't even have to be the N word. What if I don't like love? You put on a love song and I don't like love and I got a problem with it. Am I wrong? Like, should I leave? Should I make a complaint? I just don't like that song.
Wait, can I back up and ask you a follow-up, Alan? Do you really have like not a problem with like if a white person were to say they don't think you should say the N-word?
No, that's their opinion. Again, that's their opinion. My mother's from the South, from Alabama. There's black people that have a problem.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, if that's your opinion, that's your opinion. And they've had a different understanding of the word. They have a different upbringing of the word. Like, that's a whole deep debate, the N word. I would rather a white person have a problem with it and with someone saying it around them than the other way around.
Right, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they just be comfortable with it on it.
I've got, right. I hear what you're saying. On the spectrum of white people.
Yes. Yeah, if they're choosing.
They're still on the good side.
Yes. If I had to pick one, I'm picking that one.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
being too comfortable around it, that means you're going to get loose with it and say it yourself. Like, No.
Yeah. So, that's at least have the decency to be like, We don't do this.
Be afraid of it. Yes.
Yes.
Please.
That's all we ask.
Just be a little afraid.
To all our listeners.
Everyone, just be scared.
Be more afraid.
Be fearful, but keep it internal.
Except for this caller. This caller, you should have nothing to fear.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry this happened to you. This reminds me of I was sitting in a room once with some lovely white women who were upset at some Cardi B lyrics. Because, you know, it kind of comes from like a white feminist sort of second wave feminism thing that's like, feels that she's exploiting herself or something. And I was just kind of quiet because I'm like, this music ain't for you. This music is not for you to like or not like. So, but you're right. Everyone has an opinion. I was just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if you get to white lady be mad at Cardi.
I'm just going to like, I'm trying to, what's my way in?
Yeah. Try, Andrew.
Everybody had their opinion because it could be any type of music. That's like, I got some old heads that, you know, Sam Cooke, if you throw on anybody, Jay-Z, they're like, I ain't feeling that. You know what I mean? So,
it's
people's opinion. It's just that when you lash out about it and it's like, wait a minute, like, everybody has a right to listen to whatever music that you
want
to listen to.
I think that's my thing, is the out loud, like, this is disgusting type of a reaction. Like, it's kind of like, nah.
That's like being in a restaurant. That's like being in a restaurant and everybody's enjoying their food and then somebody just like, this burger is terrible. Like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm enjoying this meal. Keep that to yourself. Leave. Like, I'm enjoying this meal. So
that's what Yelp is for, madam.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, the lesson I think it feels like we all agree on, at least, is like, just don't make fucking people of color the spokesman for all the other people of color.
Right. Like, I'm sorry I talked about your friends. It's like, I don't know him.
I don't know.
And also, I know that's rich coming from this particular show.
Yeah.
But it's a fact.
But we've elected to do this shit.
Oh, God, have we?
And then we've invited our guests and tricked them.
We mainly trick people to come on and make fun of the callers. Speaking of Alan Maldonado, thank you so much for being here, man.
No, thank you. This is fun.
You're so funny.
This is fun.
Do you want to tell people how they can see, hear more of you?
Yeah, please follow me on all the social medias. Maldonado is everywhere. Yes, it's a mouthful, but hey, I'm going to get people to know my damn last name.
Absolutely.
Maldonado is everywhere. So, follow me there. Got The Last OG out. Got another show called Sneakerheads coming out. Got a movie with Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt coming out on Netflix.
Amazing.
And I got an animated series on Netflix coming out as well. I don't know if I can give out the title for that one yet, but yeah. I almost forgot. I got an app out too. Download it. It's called Everybody Digital. It's the first short film streaming app. So
amazing.
That's cool. If you like Everybody Digital.
Please download it for free.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
We talk a lot of shit about software developers and app developers here, but now we got a good one.
We've never had anyone plug an app before. Yeah.
Really?
Talk about how white a space it is. So it's cool to meet a black guy who made an app.
It is. I'm actually putting together a tech expo for diversity. I'm working with the school district and a few other. I got a big company. I can't announce that yet.
Yeah.
But a huge, huge software company that's going to support us. Cool. But it's about getting more black and brown people into tech.
That's such a big thing that we we talked about this constantly. I'll reiterate a couple of things we've said before, which is like all technology is, even though people think it's objective, it's biased, which is okay, but if there's enough diversity, that bias starts to even out.
Yes, it does.
And that's like, really, that's fucking great, man. Does.
The space is wide open. We're always the last to the party.
Yeah.
So that's what the Tech Expo is about, to bring a lot of app developers such as myself into a space where these kids can actually see people that look like them involved in tech. So.
Oh my God, that's fucking amazing, man. That is great. Yeah. So ultimately, the lesson is, if you keep staring at your phone, eventually you'll see something by Alan.
Yeah.
Netflix, stare at your phone.
It is.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all fucking there. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What is this? The end of the show?
Yeah. We are still going to be here for quite a while, but most importantly, thanks to Alan Maldonado for coming in.
Oh, he's great.
So fucking funny.
Yeah, I think everything's fine.
Yeah, everything is terrific. Let me see. We are going to tease a little bit. Let's see. We are coming. We're going on tour. We cannot announce all of our dates yet. Mainly because we do not have all of them.
They're in an email somewhere. We can't announce all the dates because they're not all in one email that we can look at.
Here is one date. We're gonna be hitting cities of Boston, cities of Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Portland, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And still booking and finalizing other dates. We can announce that on July 18th at 9:30 p.m. we will be at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
Woohoo!
Go to our Twitter, Yosis Racist, and you'll see links to that.
Probably
should make a tour page, but I'll get that going later.
I normally keep it updated on my website, so you can go to tawnynewsom.com/tour, and I will have those dates on there, as well as I'm doing a quick Spontaneation Tourco, so not a recorded episode. Paul is done recording those, you guys, but with Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, and Eugene Cordero, we're going to be at the Bell House in Brooklyn. We love it there. That's going to be on Sunday the 21st. So after you see me and Andrew, after you drive to Philadelphia to see me and Andrew, come to Brooklyn, see me and Paul.
Yeah, just get a ride with us. It'll be fine.
And then we'll have details on Minneapolis, Boston, and then I will be in Calgary with my band. So what a fun
summer of Newsom.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Summer of Newsom. So yeah, more to come, but we'll announce in post links as we get all of them. So yeah. Thanks, call in. Thanks for your call. 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE.
Yeah.
Thanks to Alan Maldonado once again, and that's it.
Yeah. Peace. Thank you. Bye.
Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you.
You know, I got that standard Lisa mattress. Mm-hmm. I'm basic as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything that's, you know, too many things. I just want the most basic. Just give me an iced coffee and a poolside Aperol spritz.
Together in one cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also a little bit of, Tawny's basically talking about, she's got a big gulp cup.
Uh-huh.
Aperol spritz.
Uh-huh.
Ice cubes.
Uh-huh.
Shot of coffee in there.
I call it the suburban woman's speedball. So anyway, back to mattresses. Oh, after I down that fucked up concoction, I love to go to sleep.
You have to.
Yeah.
you are required to by law at that point.
And I got that cushy multi-layer foam mattress. Mm-hmm. It's got premium foams. Mm-hmm. I love foams, plural. Mm. It cools me, it contours me, and it's got pressure relieving support.
Different context, different meaning.
Yeah, also different. Yeah.
It's all good. You know, but if you need something with premium foams and springs, might I suggest the Lisa Sapira hybrid mattress? Every time I see that word, I think Suspiria, like that weirdo movie that white people love. But you know what? That's not how it's... I assume it's superior to play on the word superior, Sapira. Anyway, Lisa's most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. Sapira is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't miss out.
Don't miss out. Live healthier. Live happier. Bye. Resting deeper.
And guess what? Order today and get 15% off your purchase for a limited time at lisa.com/yo and use promo code YO.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.